Our title this morning is The Joyful Sound. And so we've recently been studying the apocalyptic trumpets in our Wednesday class, which, as we've been looking at, detail out the judgments against Catholic Rome, which lead up to the return of our Lord. This morning, we'd like to step back and examine the use of the trumpet throughout Scripture, starting back with their use under the law of Moses. And what we're hoping to show is that the use of the trumpets throughout Scripture, and including what we've been looking at in Wednesday class, is associated with joy in just about every context. And so may it, you know, kind of switch how you're looking at things. Obviously, you have joyful noises and praise, but also even the judgments that we're looking at in Wednesday class are certainly a joy from the standpoint of bringing about Yahweh's will. So we'll start by going back and reading Numbers 10, 1 through 10. Numbers 10, 1 through 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver. A whole piece shalt thou make them. Thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves at the door of the congregation, or the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow, but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. When the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am Yahweh your God. So here we find the two silver trumpets were created and were blown for various purposes. We have the calling of the whole assembly, the calling of the heads of the families of Israel before Yahweh, the announcing and directing of the movement of the camp, an alarm in war, and finally a memorial before God over offerings and sacrifices. And this was probably the most common occurrence of the use of the trumpets throughout their day-to-day lives, including the beginning of the month. So this would have done, again, over offerings and sacrifices. This would have been done during all the different feasts throughout the year. Trumpets were blown to be blown in days of gladness and solemn days, as well as at the beginning of each month. So again, during the feasts, as well as the beginning of every month. The Feast of the Lord book notes that each month of Israel's year commenced with a new moon. So to quote from that booklet, each new moon was in effect a fresh beginning, since the infant moon opened a new time cycle. It was therefore an appropriate time for Israel to remember its own beginning as a nation before God and to rededicate itself to his service. So again, a memorial and a rededication. Looking then a little bit closely at the Feast of Trumpets, so again, they would have been used in all the feasts, but looking at the Feast of Trumpets, Numbers 29, 1 to 6. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. And ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto Yahweh, one young bullock, one ram, and seven lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of the flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals for a bullock and 2/10 deals for a ram, 1/10 deal for one lamb throughout the seven lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you, beside the burnt offering of the month, and his meat offering, and the daily burnt offering, and his meat offering, and their drink offerings according to their manner, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And also on the same subject, if you look at Leviticus 23, verses 23 to 25. Leviticus 23, 23. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, in the seventh month, and the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. In both of these passages are laid out additional activities to be held on the first day of the seventh month. So again, they had the blowing of the trumpets every month at the beginning of the month, but this one had additional blowings. Specifically, it was to be a Sabbath or a holy convocation. I might call it a special Sabbath. They were to provide burnt offerings and sin offerings in addition to the monthly and daily offerings that they normally did. And there were to be additional blowing of the trumpets that coincided with those offerings. In both of these passages that we read, one word is used for the phrase blowing the trumpets. That's the Hebrew word teruah, T-E-R-U-A-H, teruah. It means clamor, acclamation of joy, so that's why we're going for the joyful sound in our talk today, clamor, the acclamation of joy, or a battle cry, especially the clangor of trumpets. This word is also used in describing the trumpet of the Jubilee in Leviticus 25. We'll read that in a moment. The great shout of the people at Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. We'll read that towards the end of our talk. And the shouting of the people before the Ark of the Covenant as it was brought to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So let's start with that one in Leviticus chapter 25 with the Jubilee, verses 8 through 10. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. And actually the word Jubilee there is that same one, teruah. Thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. It's certainly a joyous occasion in this case. And what would have been interesting, just as an aside, we won't go into depth on the Jubilee year, but you know, remember that the Feast of the Trumpets was on the seventh month, first day of the month. We didn't mention it yet, but the Day of Atonement was the 10th day of the month. And the year of Jubilee was also on the Day of Atonement, as we just read. So this would have been multiple things stacked on top of each other in terms of these blowing of the trumpets. So certainly every 50 years would have been an especially joyous occasion. Again, that word teruah, meaning clamor, acclamation of joy, or a battle cry, especially the clangor of trumpets. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 12 to 18. Again, this is the bringing in of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Second Samuel 6, 12 to 18. And it was told King David, saying, Yahweh hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the Ark of God. If you recall, that's where it was kept. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the Ark of Yahweh had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before Yahweh with all his might, and David was girded with the linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of Yahweh with shouting. That word shout there is teruah. With shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. I believe that's the shofar. And as the Ark of Yahweh came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before Yahweh, and she despised him in her heart, I think to her own detriment. And they brought in the ark of Yahweh and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Yahweh. And as soon as David had made an end of the offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh of hosts. So again, here you have these blowing of trumpets, in this case during a very special event. But is that shouting in verse 15 before the ark of the Lord while David was dancing before it? Is that teruah, that acclamation of joy? We'll get back to Joshua chapter 6 towards the end of this talk, but that, of course, is the shouting that occurred at Jericho. Thus, the blowing of the trumpets as part of the Feast of the Trumpets then conveys a message of victory, joy, and praise. So that's the reason we picked out those three. We have victory over Jericho, joy in the sense of the Jubilee, and praise at the time bringing in the ark. But why the beginning of the seventh month for the Feast of Trumpets? Why pick the seventh month? The seventh month of the Jewish religious year is Ethanim, which begins in mid-September for us. Again, it is the seventh month of the religious year, but the first month of the civil year, or Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. Given that the trumpets were blown at the beginning of each new month in the year as a memorial before Yahweh, it certainly makes sense that a new year itself would require a special Sabbath or holy convocation, a feast meant as a memorial and rededication to Yahweh. It was a time for the Israelite to pause, consider, and recalibrate if needed in their individual or collective service towards Yahweh. But it was also a time of joy and celebration. Again, the acclamation of joy or teruah. We often see a similar display in the world around us with the turn of a new year on the Gregorian calendar. But the worldly joy and celebrations and the setting of New Year's resolutions are typically devoid of any reverence for Yahweh. They are but a feeble imitation of the holy convocation that we're looking at. I just realized that my talk is stuck to that. So what other spiritual lessons can we glean from this event? Again, focusing on the Feast of Trumpets. As we noted previously, it was on the first month of the civil year, but again, the seventh month of a religious year. So why the seventh? In this, we can see a parallel to the seventh millennial day, or the kingdom age, which in itself will include a rededication of the natural seed of Israel to Yahweh, and truly a new beginning for the world as a whole, with a new heavens and a new earth. So look at Ezekiel 20, beginning with verse 33. So this is regarding natural Israel. Ezekiel 20, verse 33 through verse 38. As I live, saith Adonai Yahweh, surely with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith Adonai Yahweh. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. Ye shall know that I am Yahweh. So again, here, a new beginning, a rededication of natural Israel, in this case, in the kingdom age. Now, certainly, as we read in verse 38, there will be rebels that will have to be purged out, but others will, of course, come in with joy. Chapter 36 of Ezekiel, beginning verse 22 to 28. Therefore, saying to the house of Israel, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, I do this not for your sakes, O Israel, house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know, the nations shall know, that I am Yahweh, saith Adonai Yahweh, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, and gather you out of all countries, and bring you to your own land. Then Will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So again, that rededication, a new beginning. In this case, a new heart and new spirit within them. Isaiah 65, beginning at verse 17. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Then shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, for the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of Yahweh, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Yahweh. And one more verse on this point. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 to 13. Second Peter 3:10-13. For the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be, in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that's certainly something that we look forward to. So that was looking at natural Israel and the nations as a whole, really, that new dedication and the day to come. So with that said, we'd like to look at three different categories, if you will, of the blowing of the trumpets throughout the rest of Scripture and what they represent. And these really are more so applicable to spiritual Israel, we might say. These three categories, we've broken it down into: one, the resurrection; two, proclamations; and three, the alarm of war. So first, resurrection. Remember that one of the main uses of the silver trumpets was the calling of the assembly, or the calling of the heads of the families. This was also done during the Feast of Trumpets, as the whole congregation was to observe the Holy Convocation. Likewise, at the beginning of the seventh millennial day, the whole house of spiritual Israel will be called before the high priest. So look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those of them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, they might say the political aerial, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those who are found worthy to receive honor and blessing at the judgment seat of Christ, or for those who are found worthy to receive honor and blessing at the judgment seat of Christ, another new beginning occurs. 1 Corinthians 15. And just consider this, you know, we may have thought, at least growing up, that, you know, you get to the judgment seat and maybe each individual person stands before the judge and is judged worthy or not and so forth, and then are immortalized. But really, it's more of an idea of, you have a separation of the sheep and the goats, and that entire group at once, at least the way I believe it and the way I read it, will be immortalized together. That's when I think of that shout for joy. So 1 Corinthians 15, beginning verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you think of that victory, that victory being amongst all those who are joined together with Christ at that time. This new beginning at the sound of a trumpet involves the putting on of the incorruptible divine nature, being written upon by a new name, being part of the spiritual new Jerusalem, and sitting with him, that is with Christ, in his throne. So look at Revelation chapter 4, where again we have a use of a trumpet. Revelation 4, 1 through 11. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne of God, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the 4 living ones the 4 living ones full of eyes before and behind. And the first living one was like a lion, and the second living one like a calf, and the third living one had a face of a man, and the fourth living one was like a flying eagle. So here we have this, the cherubim saints, we might say. The 4 living ones each had in them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those living ones give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Here we have the voice of a trumpet proclaiming the things which must be hereafter. That is, the glorious vision of the enthroned Christ and the saints over a subdued sea of nations, that sea of glass. This brings us to our second category regarding the use of the trumpet, that is, in proclamations. The sounding of a trumpet is associated with proclamations or announcements. We often think of trumpets being sounded, proclaiming the approaching of royalty, perhaps preceding the reading of a royal decree. In the case of the scriptures, of course, we associate it with the proclamation of the everlasting gospel. Let's look at Psalm 89, 15 to 18. This is where we got the title of our talk this morning. Psalm 89, 15 to 18. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. That is actually the word teruah there. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For Yahweh is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our king. Then thou spakest in vision to the Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of my people. I have found David my servant, with the holy oil have I anointed him. I think a little bit too far, but that's okay. Here again we see the word teruah used, translated in this case as joyful sound. What is the joyful sound being spoken here? This is the joyful sound of Yahweh's everlasting covenant. So let's look at Psalm 98, 4 to 9. Psalm 98, verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto Yahweh with a harp, with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of cornet, make joyful noise before Yahweh the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before Yahweh, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. Pardon me. In these verses, a joyful noise is made unto Yahweh because of his grace and mercy towards all the earth. So on the one hand, you have the joyful noise of the gospel itself. On the other, you have the joyful noise of thankfulness from those who receive it. So we have Romans 10, 13 to 17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by joyful noise. Looking ahead to the future, again on the concept of proclamations, Revelation chapter 14. Once again, the everlasting gospel going forth. Revelation 14, we'll read verse 1, and then verses 6 and 7. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Verses 6 and 7, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea, and the fountains of waters. Here we have what we often call the mid-heaven gospel proclamation. Verse 6 notes that it is the everlasting gospel that is preached to everyone, all nations and all kindreds and tongues and peoples. Now, why is it specified that the angel announces this in the midst of heaven? It is because the Son of Righteousness has not arisen to his full height yet at this point. That is, the old heavens and earth, that is, the nations and peoples that we have today, have not yet been fully subdued at this point. The destruction of Babylon the Great, is decreed in the verses following. However, this proclamation does occur after Christ and the saints stand on Mount Zion, as you read in verse 1. Thus, this gospel proclamation amounts to a royal decree to the kingdoms of the earth. Again, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgments is come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. Quoting from Eureka, it's on volume 3, page 401, on this thought. Quote, the proclamation, this proclamation is the announcement of millennial good news, namely, that the resurrection, immortalization, and inauguration of the called and chosen and faithful first fruits have been accomplished by Jesus Christ, who, having returned in power and great glory, has set up the ancient throne of his father David on Mount Zion. That being established there, he invites the allegiance of all nations to himself, as the king of the whole earth, by the grace of his eternal Father, who has appointed him to execute judgment and justice in the earth, and to rule the world in righteousness, that he is prepared to destroy the powers that corrupt and oppress the nations, and to wipe away tears from off all faces, and to take away the rebuke of his people, Israel, from off all the earth. His purpose is to change the face of the world, and to enlighten mankind with the true knowledge from the rising to the setting of the sun. That as mankind have been for a long series of ages in the bottomless abyss of ignorance and superstition, in commiseration of their helplessness, he invites them to hearken diligently unto him, and to come and buy wine and milk of him without money and without price. That if they will accept this invitation to the feast he has prepared for all peoples, they shall live under their own vine and fig trees in peace, and none shall make them afraid. Unquote. This brings us then to our third consideration, that is, the trumpet used as the alarm of war. Again, when we think of war, we may think, well, that may not be very joyful, but in the sense of it, what that war entails and what it brings to pass, it certainly is. Trumpets have historically been used in warfare in order to direct troops, to announce attacks, and to simply intimidate the enemy. The purpose of Israel blowing the trumpets in times of war is stated in verse 9 of Numbers 10, which we read, which says, and ye shall be remembered before Yahweh your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Let's look at two examples where the trumpets, in this case they're the shofar trumpets, were used in this manner. So the first one we mentioned previously, Joshua chapter 6, beginning at verse 2. Joshua 6, we'll read verses 2 to 5 and then verse 20. Yahweh said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. That great shout, by the way, is that teruah. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And we'll move on to verse 20, where this actually occurs. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, again that teruah, that joyful sound, that battle cry, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And then also in Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, 33 and 34, and then we'll move over to Judges chapter 7. Then all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the spirit of Yahweh came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So again, remember the trumpet was to call those of Israel to them. And then over in chapter 7, verses 16 to 18, regarding the overthrow. And Gideon divided 300 men into 3 companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all ye that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of Yahweh and of Gideon. And of course, we know that what actually occurred when they did this is all the Midianites arose and in their confusion slew each other. This kind of deliverance for he who shall be mighty ones will occur again in a future day. So look at Zechariah chapter 9, 12 to 15. Zechariah 9, 12 to 15. Turning to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, fill the bow with Ephraim, and raise up thy sons of Zion against thy sons of Greece, and made thee as a sword of a mighty man. And Yahweh shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And Adonai Yahweh shall blow the trumpet, and they shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. Yahweh of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue the slingers of stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls as the corners of the altar. And Yahweh their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty! Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. So again, this is the use of the natural Israelite, those who are brought back into the bonds of the covenant, to go out and meet these judgments against that Babylonian system. Then Revelation 14, 8 to 12. So a continuation from the chapter we were reading earlier. So again, the Mid-Heaven Gospel proclamation goes out earlier in this chapter, verse 6. We're now in verse 8. We'll read through verse 12. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They shall have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works to follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat, like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So I continue reading there. I was looking back at my Zechariah notes. But anyway, through verse 12, again, we have these judgments against this Babylonian system. You have this, again, proclamation in verse 9. To conclude, you'll remember that concerning the silver trumpets, that there were two of them, and that they were of beaten work. We would suggest that these trumpets, which were used by the priests, the sons of Aaron, are thus representative of spiritual Israel, which consists both of Jew and Gentile stock. They have been refined as silver is refined in the fire, and then beaten or fashioned into instruments to proclaim the everlasting gospel to the world in the kingdom age. You notice that throughout a lot of the instruments, so to speak, of the tabernacle, not just instruments, music, but even a lot of the furniture, maybe is a better word, they were also a beaten work. As we think on these things, our exhortation is that the trumpet, let me try that again. As we think on these things, our exhortation is that the trumpet call to the assembly of the saints could come at any moment. Thus, we should be preparing ourselves, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and hope of immortalization at the trump of God, and the subsequent preaching of that gospel to the world at large. So we'd like to close by reading out of Isaiah 52, beginning at verse 7. We'll read 7 through 15, just as a side note, really. Isaiah 53 probably should have been, when they were putting this together, probably should have started at verse 13 of chapter 52, but that's for another time. So again, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, and publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. The watchmen shall lift up the voice. With a voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye. Depart ye, go out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yahweh, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for Yahweh will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rearward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Again, speaking of Christ at his first coming. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So again, that new age for the entire world. Well, thank you. Let me turn this off.